Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. And as you're turning there, a man went to a psychiatrist. He said, "Doc, I've got a problem. Every time I go to bed, I think there's somebody under it. I'm scared to death, and I think I'm going crazy." The psychiatrist told him, "Look," he said, "just put yourself in my hands for 1 year." The man says, "Well, how much do you charge?" The doctor said, "It's $80 per visit." Well, 6 months later, the doctor met the man on the street. He said, "Why didn't you ever come to see me about those fears you were having?" asked the psychiatrist. The man said, "Well, $80 a visit, 3 times a week for a year, is an awful lot of money." He said, "And besides that, a carpenter cured me for just $10. I was so happy that I saved all that money that I went out and bought a new truck." The psychiatrist puzzled. He says, "Is that so?" He says, "How did the carpenter cure you for $10? "He simply told me to cut the legs off the bed. Ain't nobody under there now." Amen. This morning, I want us to consider our value. And I want us to really think about that. What are we worth? We hear a lot about the personal worth of the rich and famous, don't we? All over TV. Well, here's some of the world's wealthiest. The number one family is the Arnault family. They're well known for Louis Vuitton, Tiffany's, Sephora. Their family value is $192 billion. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, comes in at number two at $187 billion. Elon Musk, founder of Tesla and SpaceX. We see him in the news a lot with the space travel. He's worth $156 billion. Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, $127 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, $119 billion. That's pretty astounding numbers, isn't it? But let's think for a moment about your personal worth. And I just want to straight ask you, what are you worth? What is your value? What is your true value? And to help us answer that, let's look to God's Word. Mark chapter 8, skip down to verse 34. When Jesus had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." In a nutshell, your soul has immeasurable value. This is not my opinion as your friend. It's not my opinion as your pastor. This is fact. According to the expert himself, God Almighty, the very one who created you, is telling you right here that your soul has immeasurable value. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment all the wealth of this entire world. You think of all the numbers I just showed you for those five richest. Take all that wealth. Add all the gold, all the silver, all the diamonds, all the precious stones, all the mansions, all the best real estate that this world has to offer, all the stocks, all the bonds, all those massive corporations. Put them all together, and they still fall way short of the value of your soul. God wants us to understand that. And because your soul has such tremendous value, you cannot rest until you settle your soul's eternal destiny. Amen? We need to understand that. Number one, understand the value and understand how important it is to settle your eternal destiny with your soul. So let's consider our soul's value. What is it that gives our soul its value? Think about that for a minute. What is it that adds value? Well, first and foremost, it's artistry. That is, who made it? That's important to value, isn't it? If you had a Van Gogh painting hanging on your wall, you'd be in pretty good shape, amen? Because it's valuable. If you owned a Michelangelo sculpture, it would be worth millions. Why? Because of who created it. The artistry of the creator determines its value. Think about when God created us. When he created our soul, he declared something about us that he didn't declare about any other creation. He made us in his image. Amen? No other creation, not even the angels, as mighty and powerful as they are, they can't even say that. We were the only ones created in his image. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now that word workmanship literally means masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. We are his crown jewel of creation. That adds tremendous value to our soul. Amen? Secondly, not only does the artistry add value, but also our aptitude. Do you remember back in grade school? I don't think they have them anymore, but we used to take an aptitude test. Amen? To determine what career would be best for us. Now, our aptitude simply means our potential. Not just what we are, but also what we can be. Amen? Our aptitude, our potential. Now, we have a choice in our value. We can choose to stay lost and undone without Jesus Christ. We can choose to continue to follow the crowd, follow the world, follow Satan's system, and follow him right into the eternal pits of hell. Or we can choose to receive and follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in that process, we allow him to work upon us, to transform us. You see, in Christ, we have the aptitude, we have the potential to be conformed into his image. Amen? Let me tell you something. That adds tremendous value. I remember reading, I might have been in high school, reading about Michelangelo and how he looked at a large block of marble. And he said, quote, "There's an angel in there, and I'm going to set him free." Praise God that he sees in you and me a saint, his child, that is made in the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because his blood has set us free. Amen. God looked inside of that block of sin, and he saw his child. Most of us don't know our true aptitude. Let me share the story of Pastor Russell Conwell. Anyone ever heard of Pastor Russell Conwell? Well, Pastor Conwell was a Baptist minister. He ministered at the Baptist Temple in Philadelphia. And also, by the way, he was the founder of Temple University. Founded by a pastor. To raise money for that university, he needed $7 million to start Temple University. To raise that money, he traveled across the United States, and he gave one message everywhere he went. And that message was called Acres of Diamonds. And it was a true story. And this is how it went. He said, there was a farmer, an African farmer years ago, that caught wind of how many people were discovering diamond mines throughout Africa. This farmer decides to sell his farm, and he sets out to find his own diamond mine and all the wealth that would come with it. He searched and he searched, but he couldn't find any diamonds. In deep despair, he ended up drowning himself. Not long after, the man who bought his farm was walking across a stream that was on the property, and a sparkle caught his eye. He bent down and picked up a large, beautiful diamond. That diamond was worth a fortune. As the man looked further on the property, he discovered acres and acres of diamonds. It turns out that this farm was one of Africa's richest diamond mines to date. And that African farmer had been standing all along on top of acres and acres of diamonds. But he never realized what he had. And Christian, so are you. Amen. Most of us don't realize the value of our own soul. It's more valuable than acres and acres and acres of diamonds. We may not see it now, but our aptitude, our potential in Jesus Christ is beyond value. Amen? Third thing, longevity also adds value. Longevity, how long something will last. Amen? We buy a car. We want it to what? We want it to last. Amen? It adds value to it. Now, as I said, you know, as the Bible tells us, we are made in the image of God. And since He is eternal, so is our soul. Our soul is eternal. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. What does everlasting mean? It means endless. It means never ending. Our soul will exist for eternity in either heaven or in the torments of hell. Those who are unsaved will spend an eternity in the flames and torments of Gehenna hell. Our soul will exist and go on forever and ever and ever. We need to think long and hard about our soul and its one and only Savior. Amen. What else adds value? Our uniqueness. Our uniqueness also adds value to our soul. Collectibles. Anybody collect stuff? Baseball cards? You know. The more rare something is, what? The more valuable it is, right? The more rare something is, the more value it is. Now, there are over 7 billion people on this earth. We're actually getting closer to 8 billion. We're just slightly under 8 billion. Almost 8 billion people upon this planet. But there is only one of you and of me. Amen? Our uniqueness adds value. Our soul is rare. It's unique. It is one of a kind. There are no two alike. God will never make another soul like you. And my wife is saying hallelujah. Amen? Our uniqueness adds value. And lastly, our appeal. Our appeal adds value. Little secret in the world of appraisals. An item is worth whatever someone is willing to pay. Amen? An item is worth whatever someone is willing to pay. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about that in terms of your soul. How valuable is your soul? To answer that, all you have to do is look to Calvary. Amen? Think about the cost that Jesus paid for it. A cost that is beyond comprehension. Almighty God, leaving his glory behind in heaven, coming down and taking on human flesh for one reason. To redeem us and to pay sin's penalty for our soul. He purchased our soul with his own precious blood. The unspeakable suffering he endured. The nails. The crucifixion upon that cross. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by their tradition from your fathers, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I believe most of us way underestimate the value of our soul. Amen. Too many walk around, woe is me, and I'm not worthy, and I'm no good. Let me tell you something, that is contrary to God's word. Amen. You want to know how much God loves you? Just look to Calvary. Just look to those nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ that he held out wide and he said this much. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For the Father made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Why? So that he could purchase our soul. He paid a price beyond measure, but it was a price that he was willing to pay for your soul. Amen. Now that we considered the cost of our soul, let's consider profit and loss. Go back to verse 36 in our text in Mark 8. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Profit and loss. In business, we have what's known as a P&L statement, a profit and loss statement. And here Jesus is talking about a profit and loss statement, highlighting a very unwise transaction. And he illustrates just how foolish it would be, that it would be of no profit whatsoever. Let's see why. He said, what will it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Well, first, you can't gain this whole world. Just look through history books. Many have tried. Amen? Think of how quickly people will sell out for wealth. Judas, he sold out Christ for 30 pieces of silver. But let me tell you something, today people are rejecting Christ and selling him out for a lot less. How many refuse to receive Christ because they just don't want to give something up in their life? They're clinging on to the things of this world and the deceit of this world so tight that they're not willing to give it up for Christ. Not knowing that you can't gain this whole world. Secondly, even if you could gain the whole world, guess what? You can't keep it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This world and everything in it will be burned up in the day of the Lord. If you want to know what you truly have. If you want to know what you actually have, just strip away every material thing that you own, and that's what you have. Amen. First and foremost is Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can't gain it, and we can't keep it. And the third reason, even if we could gain it and we could keep it, in the end, we'd never be satisfied with it. Amen. We were created for God, by God. In Him we live and we move and we have our very being. God created us with a massive void in our soul that only Jesus Christ can fill. Amen. Plain and simple. We will never be satisfied until we give our hearts over to Christ and we turn our life over to Him and we allow Him to be our Lord and our Savior. We can search this world over and many have done it. Many have tried. But nothing will ever fill that emptiness, that void, except for Jesus Christ. Amen. I shared this a couple of weeks ago in our Sunday school. Remember hearing football player Deion Sanders. They called him Neon Deion. Very flashy player. Great player. Finally won the Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. That's the pinnacle of a sports star. And he won the Super Bowl. And he should have felt like he was on top of the world, but when he went back into his hotel room, he said he felt empty. There was something missing. And he opened up the drawer of the dresser next to his bed and he found a Bible and he started reading. And he realized pretty quickly what he was missing. And it was Jesus Christ. And it was there that he gave his heart to the Lord. This man had trained his whole life to reach the Super Bowl and be a Super Bowl champion. But when he got there and when he attained it, he was still empty. Because we were made by God and for God. God made fish for the sea. He made birds for the air. But He made us to have sweet fellowship with Him. Amen. We need to stop wasting our time, wasting our energy, and flat out wasting our life trying to satisfy that empty void in our soul with something that we can't gain, we can't keep, and will never satisfy us in the end. Not only is there no profit, but Jesus is saying there is great loss. Think about what He's saying here. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? But look what the exchange is. He loses his own soul. We've already seen that God tells us that our soul has immeasurable value. It's worth more, way more than this world. That's an immeasurable loss. It's flat out irreplaceable. You know, there's many things that we can replace. There's many things that we can find a substitute for. But that's not the case with our soul, amen? That exchange, Jesus is telling us here, would be an irreplaceable loss, but more importantly, it would also be an irreversible loss. As we saw last week in Revelation chapter 20, we need to be careful. We can't be deceived to believe that we have more time. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Amen? You can open up the obituary and read through and see person after person, name after name, of somebody who thought they had another day, another year, another 10 years, another 20 years. But they weren't guaranteed tomorrow, and neither are we. And we can't be deceived to think that we can reject Jesus Christ and wait until judgment day and plead for mercy. Because mercy is only offered on this side of eternity. God's mercy, His grace, and His forgiveness is for today. through Jesus Christ. But lastly, Jesus is telling us here that would also be an inexcusable loss. An inexcusable loss. We think about it. There is absolutely no reason for anyone to die lost and undone without Jesus Christ and to go to hell. No reason whatsoever. Verse 35, Jesus said, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Whoever. Some translations have whosoever. Jesus gave his life for the whosoever's, the whoever's will receive him. Amen? There's nothing for us to do. He's already done it all. There is no reason for us to die and go to hell. It's inexcusable. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 19, listen to what God says. He said, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." God has given us an open book test. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. And then he gives us the answer. He says, therefore, choose what? Choose life. There's no doubt. Many of us have suffered great loss in our lifetime. Loss of health. Loss of our finances, our livelihood. Loss of loved ones. But let me tell you something. None of those compare to losing your soul to the pits of hell. And hell is full today of souls that would give anything for the opportunity to be where you and I are today. To still have the opportunity to choose life.